Sunday of Advent. We gather once again here today to continue encouraging each other in our pilgrimage of faith, and particularly in this season that we call the season of Advent. A season of waiting, a season of preparation, a season where in solidarity with all those who live before the birth of Jesus Christ, we look forward to Christmas, the coming of the baby Jesus. But also us who have lived after Jesus Christ, also looking forward to his second coming. The readings today are quite really stark lessons that you have read today. We are introduced to this gentleman, John the Baptist, who represents the prophets today, and his message, which is indeed a very difficult message to hear. But again, we have the prophecy of Isaiah, the wonderful light of Paul. And as I was just reflecting upon the passage this morning, particularly the Gospel reading, and as I was just reflecting upon the season that we find ourselves at, the season of Advent, it just felt as if everything was going so well. You know, it's like that Christmas party, that Christmas celebration, where everything is going so well. You know, meal is ready on time, everyone who has been invited has come. But again, the thing about this, there was that one person who was invited, who everyone was hoping that they would not come, but they have indeed come. That person who we all do know, that they do have a propensity of just saying something that will just change the mood of everything at the party. We have John the Baptist today. It was going all very well. All our Advent windows were opening up and seeing all these lovely things, looking forward to that huge rejoice at the very end of our Advent calendars. But here comes John, saying something to us that we do really need to pay attention. John is a character that I do not think that would get a place at the Paris Fashion Week. Well, maybe he would today, you never know. But his dressing, he was dressed in camel's hair. I don't think that his diet would be one of the top 10 diets to recommend, locust and honey, but probably it is what nutritious. And this image of this gentleman, and particularly by that who has looking at prophets today, has potentially been able to construct an image of a prophet when we think of a prophet. Someone with probably very long hair, someone probably who speaks like straight, someone who really just speaks what he feels and what God is saying to him. And it just made me stop and think. And really appreciate that Advent is not just about that cozy anticipation of a wonderful baby swaddled in those lovely clothes. But Advent, part of it is about disruption, turning things upside down. A time of the season where hard truths are proclaimed and declared. It is about the anticipation of the coming of a king as well. A king who will come to rule with justice and righteousness. A king who is coming to judge. So it's not just about that lovely, wonderful thing, twinkling lights and all the excitement. About that hard reality, the judgment is coming. Our reading this morning from Matthew is an incredible one. Because for a very long time, the people of Israel hear the voice of God. And Matthew is the bearer of this voice, this news, a call to repentance, a call to be able to leave all the ways of the kingdom of Israel and to follow God. Of course, this word in our modern day is a very, very difficult word. And it might sound as if someone scolding us. But in those days, particularly the word that is used by Matthew in Greek as Moya, is a call to a new time for what people are doing. To turn away completely from that which they were doing and to face another direction. A change of the mind, a new time of the soul. But of course, John does not express this in a way that is quite nice and cozy. He calls out the listeners, "You people of my words, who warned you?" And he goes ahead to give this illustration of the winnowing job. Of course, the winnowing of the wool is enabled to the farmers who will be able to take the grain and toss it up in the air. The grain will fall and the chaff will be separated. But as I was reading this, I was just reminded of my grandmother who enjoys doing this kind of thing. And when I was young, when I was going to visit her, I could see her doing all this work with the mirror, taking the grain, picking it up, and the wind just coming and blowing. And this exercise, from my recollection, one of the most important things was not the farming, it was not even the crop itself, it was the wind. Because that was something we just lifted up, I think we just hold on, so that day. The wind was really, really good. Because it was the wind that was able to blow. And as the wind blew the chaff, it would blow away, and the substance of the grain would fall to the ground, which we would be able to collect. And John uses this analogy. And today, as we reflect on this passage in the context of Advent, we have in this our building that wonderful prayer about the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow in our hearts to be able to separate those things that will make it not possible for Christ by the whole in our hearts. That chaff, those habits, those things that we do, that we know very well do not please the Lord. The things that distract us from being faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Because these things need to be blown away, but that which Christ will come from will be pure as we just saw by the Lord. Of course, he carries on with this difficult message. I'll tell you that, it's not about your heritage. As they were saying, well, we do have Abraham. And for us, today, it's not about the religious practices we observe every day, but our relationship with God and how we live out that relationship. Of course, it's a very difficult message and subject to hear, calling people to repentance, live your great in some of your hearts. The things that really would make Christ what you want and be your heart, get rid of them. Allow the Spirit of God to blow them up. It is Jesus, nonetheless, message of abundance. How are we going to make our hearts ready for the coming of this year? But it's not just about doom and gloom, as it were. Our epistle raises Jesus' hope. It gives us encouragement. And of course, Paul does quote that text that we read from the prophet Isaiah about that root of Jesse. This son that has been cut off, that is being prophesied, that something is going to come back to life again. In the doom and gloom of the season, and during the season of Advent, we do talk a lot about light coming into the world. It is a time that we do look at our sun, that which is dead, that which is gone. The chaos that we see around us, but still holding on to hope that indeed something will come. Advent is not a season of looking forward, that things will get better. But it is a season of looking forward for someone who is coming, and that person is Jesus Christ. And it is in Jesus Christ that we do have our hope. It is in his coming that we do have and we find our hope. And these two things, I think, they go hand in hand. We cannot have one without the other. Repentance and hope go hand in hand. Repentance we are the good, but hope from the soul. Just want to conclude this one by encouraging us. Let the Spirit of God examine our hearts. The things that we do know that probably no one else knows. That the Spirit of God will purify us. Will purify our hearts and make us ready to receive the Spirit of God. Because in this He